Let's bow our heads as we stand. Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be poured into every heart and life here, that we may know your presence, that we may know the presence of Christ with us, and that you may inspire our lives to be lived to the full for the purposes of your gospel and sharing your good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning, and first time I've been at the front here, apart from a wedding just over a week ago, so lovely to see you all again. And today our hearts are saddened by the passing of two very valued parishioners, and so we particularly think of those two families today. Before I move on to my sermon, I mentioned my son's wedding, and an awful lot of people did a lot to help with that, and we had a wonderful day. But thank you to everybody who helped with it, who sent greetings, who asked about him, and who were praying for him, and maybe more importantly, for his new wife. So thank you for that. Well, it's hard to believe that Christmas and New Year are past. Christmas and New Year, there are many parts to it, and we kind of think about all sorts of things that go on, from presents to trees to the food that we eat, all of those sorts of things. And yet, probably the most valuable thing I think about Christmas is hearing people's stories, that you're catching up with people's stories that you haven't heard for a while. As many of you'll know, my daughter lives across in the Shetland Islands, so we don't visit her every week, and catching up with her and her husband and three small children and hearing their stories and what excites them and what they've been doing, as well as even the children and grandchildren who are here. Because during term time, it's kind of school and then homeworks and then stuff that they're going to do in the evenings. And so we've time to hear stories, to hear what makes them tick, to hear what's going on in their lives. And we heard there a little bit of John the Baptist's story. And John's story must have been a very interesting one as he grew up, because obviously Mary came to visit John's mother when they were both expecting. And so I'm sure that as he grew up, he heard stories about that visit. He heard stories about this cousin who was to be born who was the promised one from God. I'm sure it would have been a very interesting household. And yet the two of them grew up and seemed to be quite different. On the one hand, we have a picture of Jesus as the carpenter's son going to the temple, and John growing up and going out into the wilderness and being a little bit of a wild man out there. And so two very different characters. And yet their stories must have overlapped, and he must have heard about this Jesus who was to be born to be the Messiah, and that he had a special place in his life. The two families might even have met together and shared stories. New Year is also a time for new resolutions, for new plans, for new purpose. And I guess at the start of 2020, we need to think not just what are the things we're going to do this year, but what is our mission in the coming year? What is our purpose plan in the coming year? What are we going to do in the coming year? And it's important to think about that. In John 3 and verse 30, we hear John the Baptist's mission statement. It's a personal impact plan that he has for his life. And it just has seven words in it. And it's simply, he must increase, but I must decrease. And so he's heard about this Jesus, knew his story growing up, knew his role, and his mission statement is, he must increase, but I must decrease. I want to say to us, we need to have and think about our mission statement. What is your vision for the future? And a good place for your vision for the future is to begin by asking, vision, well, what is God's will for my life? And it's very easy in a building like this, in a wonderful place to worship, with people that we meet with week by week, to think, well, it's all about here and it's all about church. But actually, there's six other days in the week, and so there will be people here involved in business. There'll be people in this church involved in education, those involved in the charity sector, those involved in the health service, and we're praying for a good outcome for the future of our health service. There'll be people involved in the civil service, and there's even those going back to work at Stormont. It's amazing. So whether you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, or anything else, God has a vision for you 24/7 for each day of your life, and a mission for you to fulfill. As the Christian writer Shane Claiborne has so clearly and perceptively put it, rather than asking what God's will is for my life, I find it helpful instead to ask what God's will is and how my life might fit into that. Maybe that's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. And that is what all Christians are called to do, to seek first his kingdom, to go after his righteousness, to go after sharing that good news. And it is good news for the whole world, for each person. What is your mission statement? It's good to discuss this with others because they'll have insights into our lives and into how we tick and what they see in us that even we don't. And this is one of the life application questions I've given to our midweek groups to discuss and to encourage each other with. So there's those questions going out to our midweek groups, and I know they don't meet until Wednesday week, but do stick with the script and follow the questions in your groups, and particularly think about what is your mission statement. And even when you write it down, whether it's seven words like John the Baptist or maybe slightly longer, don't just write it, then purposefully each day seek to put it into practice. That's what John did. He had a vision. He asked, what is God's will for my life? And he had his statement, he must increase and I must decrease. And then secondly, after vision, he ventured out. He ventured out to make straight the way for the Lord. He knew and lived his mission statement to make straight the way for the Lord. That was his purpose. And so as soon as Jesus appears, he tells everyone, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John made an impact wherever he went, so much so that just before this parish, this passage, he's been asked, is he the Messiah? Oh, well, if he's not the Messiah, is he Elijah or is he a prophet? And if you aren't these men, what do you have to say about yourself? And John said, I am the one who is to make straight the way for the Lord. It is in keeping with his mission statement that as soon as Jesus enters that village, John calls out to everyone, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See him. He must increase. I must decrease. Last year on my sabbatical, I attended a distinctive leadership course, and the guy that was overseeing the course was a guy called Pete Winter, and his mission statement for his life is that he sees himself, and he's worked this out with others, as an optimistic visionary who brings the best out of everyone in the room. And from that, he not just leads a church, he also leads the leadership course in London and the distinctive leadership course. He contributes to a podcast that goes out in the London area and that you can sign up to. He's invested in the lives of teenagers and young adults to equip them to step up and out into the world of work. And most of what he does is with those who don't do jobs like Danielle and I do. He very much is engaging with the business sector and all sorts of people in the London area, but also across the world at the Distinctive Leadership Course. And it's clear that he is called to mind gold in every person, to bring the best out of them, and to help them to see that with God's help, they can make a greater impact than they thought possible. And this is through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that life is breathed into every follower of Jesus. And that life is life in all its fullness. John the Baptist knew his mission was to point people to Jesus and to new life in the presence of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's for this reason he says, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one whom you see the Spirit descend and rest on is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." Now, we will all know people who we can see such qualities in them that we recognize that the Spirit is upon them, that God is present in their lives, that God has empowered and given them particular gifts. Now, none of us have all the gifts that are found in this church or in any church or across the worldwide church. But God gives each of us gifts through his Spirit, and the Spirit descends on believers. We may at times be very aware of it. At other times, it may fade into the background. But when we see someone whom we see the power of the Spirit working in, the presence of Jesus, well then, it is good to be in their presence. It is good to watch and to learn and to see how God uses them. And so, over the years, I've been so blessed to have friends like that and to have colleagues whom I learn from and see the Spirit descending and resting on and see them being used in mighty ways for God in ways that I never could. And here at the start of this new year, it's time to have vision and to venture out for the Lord. And the year ahead is an exciting one as we step up to the plate with this 10,000 lives mission that we want 10,000 people who don't yet know Jesus, who haven't yet accepted him, to meet with the Lord, to hear the gospel. And that requires every church member to be thinking, how can I make contact with a few people to introduce them to Jesus so that they can be sure of Christ in their lives? And you'll remember before Christmas, we gave you those little prayer cards to pray for 5 people. And if everybody across the 18 churches or how many that have signed up to 10,000 lives are doing that, and they're reaching out to people across Lisburn, we can make an impact with the gospel on 10,000 lives. So let's have a vision. Let's venture out for the Lord. And on Monday or Tuesday week, that evangelism training starts. So please do sign up for that. Please do go along to St. Columbus Presbyterian or to Lisburn City Church for that evangelism training. And then as this 10,000 lives continues, at sometime in February, we're going to be taking the programs out to churches across Lisburn. Then at the end of March, we have Stuart Elliott, the former Northern Ireland footballer, coming to do a breakfast here for all who are interested in sport and would like to hear his story. We've Mitch from Crown Jesus Ministries coming to preach in a few weeks' time, and Barry Woodward coming across from England at the end of March to speak here. And this time, as we approach Easter, we're doing many of the same things that we've done in Big Church Serve, but very much focusing them on reaching 10,000 lives. So do have a vision for that. Do venture out for that. And there's stuff for people of all ages, children and youth and all ages. We want to impact the community. And then our aim is to put down foundations for a new church launching later this year in the South Lisburn area. There are many challenges, many pitfalls with such a venture, and no doubt we will hit roadblocks. But there's also opportunities and victories as we venture out for the Lord. We want each person here, each parishioner who's on fire for Jesus, to be part of this as we seek first his kingdom, as we build his kingdom here in Lisburn with vision, by venturing out with the good news and by encouraging others to encounter Jesus who stands among us. And that is the next thing that we need to really be focusing on. It's great to have vision and to venture out, but ultimately we want people to encounter Jesus who stands among us. And this needs to be a personal encounter. John 1:35-37. John the Baptist was again standing with two of his disciples, and as Jesus walked by, John looked up at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Like John the Baptist, we are to encourage others to encounter Jesus. And first, we need to capture the wonder of who Jesus is. This takes us back to Isaiah 9 and verse 6, where there's this encounter with the one who is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, who wouldn't want to encounter a mighty counselor, a wonderful God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace? That is what we're offering to the world, an encounter with Jesus Christ. And the good news is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he stands among you as he stood among the crowd as John was baptizing. The God and creator of the universe has come into our world as one of us, subject to the troubles that we face, subject to the sorrows that we deal with, subject to our poverty, and subject even to death itself. Jesus Christ stands among us. He has come from the Father to bring us his love, to bring us forgiveness, to bring us healing. And over 20 centuries after John presented Jesus to the people he met on the banks of the Jordan, the truth of his words still resonates in our own hearts. Look, here is the Lamb of God who stands among you. He is God in flesh, and he stands among us. And he invites us to a personal, life-giving encounter. And like John, we are called to make straight the way for the Lord. So whatever your gifts and calling, your personal mission statement can help you in your lives each day. And it can help you to do as John the Baptist did, to point people to Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God who stands among you. John's aim was to deflect attention from himself and to exalt Christ as the one worthy of all glory. And as we've read in verses 29 and 36 of John 1, he pointed everyone to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sinners need their sins forgiven, and that's you and me and everyone. And by offering himself as the substitute for sinners, Jesus will forgive the sins of all that trust in him. And our job's very simple. Each one of us, as followers of Christ, is to tell people that wonderful news, that good news for all the world. Do you know there is a wonderful counselor? That there is a mighty God? That there is an everlasting Father? That there is a Prince of Peace, and he stands among you? We need to have vision. We need to venture out. We need to encourage encounters with Jesus. May this be a year of vision, of venture and encounter. And so we pray, show us your glory, Lord, in ways we have never known before. We ask this in and through the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.